Welcome to The Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name is Ken Weatherford, the Director of Worship Arts here at the church, and as always, it's great to be with you. We hope you enjoy this week's episode of our weekly sermon podcast and ask that you would do us a favor and please share this with your friends and family on Facebook or Twitter. You can find us at www.fumcbentonville.org or by searching FUMC Gathering Podcast on iTunes.
Good morning, church. Good morning. Hey, it's great to have you today. It's so good to see you here at this time. And we've combined our services today, our five into three, to have an opportunity to hear Reverend Stephen Colburn. Colburn is our district superintendent of the Northwest District of the United Methodist Church, the Arkansas Conference. And, so it's a joy to be here today. Stephen, as you come today, last two Sundays, this church has had winter weather advisories, the last two Sundays of this year. And today, this morning, I felt like picking flowers this morning as I walked out. So it's a great time, but good to have you here. Stephen is a native of Monticello, Arkansas, graduate from Hendricks College, Conway, Arkansas, Master of Divinity from Iliff Seminary in Denver, Colorado, one of our United Methodist seminaries. Prior to being the district superintendent of the Northwest District in July of 15, Stephen was the senior pastor at First United Methodist Springdale, so not that far down the road, just down the road from us. And at that same time, he was chair of the Board of Ordained Ministry. And so I worked a lot with Stephen when I was a DS at that time, working with the Board of Ordained Ministry. So truly, he's a colleague in ministry. He's also served at churches in Cabot, Fort Smith, Texarkana, Lone Oak, Maumelle, Bradley, and Little Rock, Arkansas. He and his wife, Dara, have three children and four great-grandchildren. And it's a joy to have you here this morning, Stephen. So would you welcome Stephen as he comes to preach this morning?
Very good. Good morning. It is a joy to be with you. Over the last year, I've been very intentional in not accepting any preaching engagements in order to do some other things. And so this year I'm beginning to be able to accept some engagements to preach and to be able to get around the district in that way. It is a blessing to be here with you. And before we even go any further, I know that you know this, but I want to be sure that we recognize it. I know that you understand how blessed you are to have the worship leaders and music team and all of those who do the things that they do. I know that you understand that. Yes? Show a sign of appreciation for them. These are all folks that work very hard, and so I am grateful for what they're doing. I came to the district about 3 years ago, and the bishop called, and I was telling someone this earlier. The bishop called and said, "Stephen, do you have a minute?" And this was on the phone. I said, "What for?" And he said, "Well, I want to talk to you about an appointment." I said, "Well, that's interesting." He said, "What's so interesting?" I said, "I have an appointment, and I kind of like it." And he said, "Well, I'd like for you to come on the district." And I said, "Bishop, I'll be glad to do that. The office is in Fort Smith, right?" And so I said, "Bishop, I'll be glad to do that, but I really don't see the need to move to Fort Smith so I can drive back up here half the time. So if it's all right with you, can I just stay in Springdale?" And he said, "Well, let me think about it, and I'll call you back tomorrow." And I said, "That's fine. When you call back, let me go ahead and give you my wife's cell phone number. And if you decide that we need to be in Fort Smith, won't you just go ahead and call her and let her know if we're moving or not?" And he said, "You know what? I think you can stay in Springdale." And then he said, "You're going to be okay in this job." It's a honor to serve the church in a different capacity and to see the church in a different way. So I bring you greetings from Bishop Mueller, the cabinet, and all that we do. I want us to take a minute and look at a piece of scripture. I'm going to be reading from the book of Acts in the first chapter, starting with verse 6. So hear these words. "So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, is this the time Lord, is this the time that you will restore the kingdom to Israel? And he replied, it is not for you to know the time or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, when he said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up. And a cloud took him out of sight. And while he was going, they were gazing up toward heaven. And suddenly, two men in white robes stood by them and said to them, Men of Galilee, why do you just stand there looking towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go to heaven. Now, in the churches that I've been in, when we read the scripture, I typically say, this is the word of God. And everybody responds, yes, it is. That's, you didn't expect that, did you? Yes, it is. This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is God's word. Yes, it is indeed. You know, I want to say, there's so many things that we could pull out of that text, and there's a variety of ways to approach it, as in any text, and that's one of the things that makes reading scripture so rich, is that every time you read it, there's something new that we can learn. There's something new that we can understand, and there's something new that God wants us to understand. And so we read this text, and often we immediately get drawn, as and rightly so, we immediately get drawn to the verse that says, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witness. And that is the focus of the text, and we'll get there in a second. But underneath that is this ongoing question that we see throughout the Gospels. This ongoing question that the disciples keep asking Jesus. They, in one form or another, the disciples come to Jesus and they say, Lord, tell us about the kingdom. And in some places he says, well, the kingdom is like a father who had two sons. The kingdom is like a mustard seed. Over and over again, Jesus is trying to teach the disciples what it is to be in the kingdom, what it is to grow the kingdom, and maybe in a more basic way, what it means to be a kingdom person. So in this text, once again, the disciples have this kingdom question. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom? And their understanding of the kingdom at this point is very different than Jesus. Their understanding of the kingdom is this restoration of a powerful government or powerful leaders and all of these notions of power and control. And he says to them, it's a little different than that. So let me tell you about the kingdom. I share that with you because I think it is vital that as people of the church, people of the church, people of this church, each one of us as individuals seeking to follow the way of Jesus, it is important for us to understand what is first and primary, and that is that Jesus brings to us life in the kingdom. It's about the kingdom. Sometimes I think those of us in the church, preachers and lay people, I think sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget that. That all of this exists, this thing we call the church, the only reason it exists is to invite people to be part of the kingdom. The people who are here, the people who are not, and the people who have yet to walk through our doors, but we know they will. It's about the kingdom. You with me here? Is this making sense? Don't have to agree, just does it make sense? So in this discussion, Jesus begins to realize that they're thinking about power. So he's got something to say to them about that. He says to them, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." There's a qualifier there. You catch that? You will receive power when it comes from the Holy Spirit. Any power perceived short of Holy Spirit is not power at all. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And when you receive that power, and if you receive that power, you now have a heightened responsibility. You shall be my witness. Not the church's witness. Not the district superintendent's witness. Not the preacher. Jesus is teaching, you shall be my witness. Jesus is reminding us, folks, that this is about him. It's not about us. And sometimes it's hard to hear. And so he tells us what that responsibility is. He not only tells us that we are to be a witness, he not only tells us who we are witnessing for, but he tells us where. You shall be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria. And I grew up in Monticello. Any of you ever been to Monticello? Yeah. There's a college there, right? You know, there's a little college there. And out in the middle of the college, it's a forestry school. And they're out in the middle of the college. There's a big lake. They call it a lake. It's a big pond, right? They have all kinds of forestry competitions and all of that. And I grew up going out there, and I grew up walking along the bank of the pond. And to this day, I can't walk near a body of water and not pick up a rock and want to throw it in the water. Right? Some of you do that, yeah. And not only do I sometimes throw it, but I skip them. You know how you skip a rock? I am a world champion rock skipper, and I will challenge any of you at some point if you'd like. But I share that with you because what happens when a rock hits the water? It's not hard. What happens? Makes a splash. And when it makes a splash, it creates an impact at that point. And when the rock hits the water, it begins to ripple. Right? And if you stay there long enough, those ripples will go all the way to the bank. And it'll hit the bank. And it'll begin to make its way back towards that place of impact. Now, if you get a smaller body of water, you'd see that happen. Go drop a rock in your bathtub, or You know, the water will go out, it'll hit the bank, and then it'll come back in. That's the gospel. And where we sometimes fail in our understanding is we don't understand that the more we give the gospel away, the more that comes back to us. The more we give the gospel away, it ripples out and it hits the bank and it begins to come back. The more we focus, for example, the more I say this in churches all the time, the more we focus on reaching the needs of others, the more our needs get met. If we don't, then we're not only not meeting their needs, but we're not meeting our own. So Jesus says, you will be my witness first in Jerusalem. We have a circle that Jesus is making, kind of like the rock hitting the water. First in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria, then to the ends of the earth. You with me? That is true. That same example or illustration is true for every church. You are called to be a witness. First, in your home. Secondly, in your church, the community, the area, and the world. It continues to expand. Your Jerusalem is what I know marketing here in this area is. Your Jerusalem is downtown Bentonville. That's your primary mission field. And then it expands. Broader and broader and broader. Now, if we read on, after he said this, it says, when he had said this, they were watching, and he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Can you picture that? Can you picture them standing there? Jesus is lifted up, so what's everybody doing? Right? That's what I would do. And while they're doing that, a couple of people appear, and they say to them, why do you stand there looking towards heaven? Now, there's all kinds of ways to interpret that. You'll notice when I read it, I said, why are you just standing there? It is easy for us to get into our faith and just stand there. I think the two were saying, why are you standing there? He's told you what to do. Go do it. It was nice that we saw this, but now it's time to go do it. So here's the challenge. How are you going to be a witness that's empowered by the Holy Spirit to be a part of that ever-widening circle of faith? It is our responsibility as believers. It's our responsibility as a church. You know, I've served churches of all sizes. And what I have found is churches that get into probably about 350, 400 or so in worship and up, there's just enough critical mass to feel really comfortable and really like all that's being done, and rightly so. But Jesus tells me there's always more. There's always someone else. There's always that next person. The church is not about you and me. The church is about the kingdom. You and me and all of us together, we're just the resources that God uses to expand the kingdom. I was in a training event not long ago, and they put it to us this way. Some of you in your business will understand this. The teacher asked us, when you look at the church, who is your client? Most churches think the people in the church are the client. The mission field's the client. The people a block from here who do not know Jesus are the clients. The people 10 miles from here that are struggling to pay their bills and buy food, they're the client. And our product, if you will, is the kingdom. So here we are. You and I and all of us together, we are part of an ever-widening circle. Whenever Jesus told the disciples these things, particularly in his teaching, he would always say to them, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you, even to the end of the age." May God bless us as we seek to be a blessing to others, to create an even wider circle. And may we understand that at the end of the day, it's about the kingdom. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Thanks again for joining us on the Gathering Podcast. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, come and join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. We have services at 8:30, 8:45, 9:45, and 11 o'clock each Sunday morning. Grace and peace, y'all.